You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm still in shock from last night's broadcast. I had been sent a tape, which I thought was great. I thought it was the tape of a new television series that Aaron Russo had told me that he was going to do, and that was the reason that he resigned from the Constitution Party, was to make a movie and produce a television series called Mad as Hell, which would expose on a nightly or weekly basis what was going on. And the movie was supposed to be starring Meryl Streep, and it was supposed to expose the Internal Revenue Service. And he told me that Meryl Streep had read the script and that it was a wonderful script and she liked it. And they were negotiating and they had a lot of people interested and the money was there and all that kind of stuff. And last night I found out that wasn't true. And I was shocked, and I made some calls today to my good friends in Hollywood and found out that that script hadn't been passed around, and Meryl Streep never read it. And there wasn't any money, and it wasn't going to be done. Back in November, Aaron Russo called me and told me that the television series was a done deal, and that the first broadcast on television was going to be in January, I think around the 4th or the 6th of January, somewhere around there. And he wanted me to give him a list of all the people in California so that he could contact them and have them be in the audience. And it was supposed to be aired on Fox Network. Well, I don't give mailing lists out to anyone, so he was disappointed when I did not send him a list. But that's okay, because from watching the tape, he didn't have any problem getting an audience. But I found out that it was not a TV series, was never supposed to be a TV series, and was never aired on Fox. He lied to me. And I didn't find that out until last night and today when I made more phone calls, because I thought that it had aired. Last night when I pushed him for the networks and cable systems and for the satellite that was going to air his infomercial, he vacillated and couldn't give me any of that information, which means he hasn't made any deals to air anything on any infomercials on any satellite, cable networks, or television networks, or television stations. But he made the statement that it would be on the air in 2 weeks. Now, I happen to know an awful lot about radio and television, folks, because I've been working with radio for over 4 years now, you know, and I've been negotiating and looking and shopping for deals to get on television with the Hour of the Time. And I'm telling you right now, if he doesn't know what cable networks, what major networks, what TV stations, or what satellite is going to be on, he's not going to be on anything in 2 weeks. So he did not tell the truth last night. I was in shock. As these things begin to unfold, and I begin to learn the truth about a man that I had supported and believed in, I just couldn't deal with it, folks. I tried to ask questions, and I was hoping that he would come back and set things straight, and I kept doing it and doing it, hoping all the while that what I was hearing was not true. But alas, it was. And so I owe all of you a big, giant apology from the bottom of my heart for supporting him and for asking you to support him. And for getting you involved in the Constitution Party, which he quickly bailed out of, and then which quickly got set up to be destroyed by people that he is now working with. I'm still in shock, folks. You see, now you know why I'm so suspicious and why I investigate everything. And now you know why I don't believe anything and I don't listen to anybody. I mean, you got to prove it to me. And it's because of things like this. And even with my caution, even with my high degree of suspicion and investigation and caution, I got took by Aaron Russo. See, everything he was telling you last night about mad as hell, buy this video, it's going to be great, we're going to send out millions of facts, with the same exact words that he said about the Constitution Party. Same exact words, no different whatsoever. Same thing, it's going to unite all people, all different races, Christians, Jews, blacks, whites, Orientals, everything. We're all going to come together under one common bond, and that common bond is freedom. You heard him say it on this show many times. You heard him say it on other broadcasts. You heard him say it in person. And then last night he denied it. Said it wasn't true. It's not what the Constitution was all about. It's not what the Constitution Party was doing. It's what mad as hell is doing. And yet the first time he ever appeared on the Hour of the Time, he used those exact words. You've got to get off your butts. You've got to get mad at hell. And you've got to not take it anymore. And this is going to bring all people together, blacks, whites, Jews, everybody, all going to come together under the Constitution Party, because we do have a common bond. The common bond is freedom. It's liberty. I was tremendously hurt last night because I really thought that Aaron was going to come on here and was going to do something good. Instead, he shattered everything that I believed about him. And he turned out to be just another two-faced Trojan horse. Another Ross Perot, if you will. And I couldn't take it. You know, I tried for almost a whole hour to get him to make it right. And he wouldn't do it. All today, I received, I don't know how many phone calls, just right after another in support of how I handled last night. Some said I wasn't rough enough. Some said I was a little too rough, but I was right in what I did. But all were in agreement that what I did was right. And I got a whole lot of faxes, and I'll probably get a whole lot of mail about it. All positive so far. In fact, I'm going to read you one tonight. I'm not going to tell you who it's from. It doesn't make any difference. But it's indicative of the comments that I've been getting all day from everybody. I could not, folks. I'm still having big trouble dealing with the fact that I got took and you got took. We all got took by this guy. And I had sort of figured that by now I was immune to that. But I'm not, you see. You people that try to put me up on a pedestal, you shouldn't do that, because I keep telling you, I'm just like you. I've just studied a lot longer and researched a lot more. I'm a lot more suspicious. I question everything, and I can still get took. Now, imagine what can happen to you when you're not even near my level. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Give it down.
give a damn. Give a damn about your job. Don't you let the devil rob. Take pride in anything that you find your name to. Hey, forget about the banker and try to help your neighbor. America, I'm asking you to give a damn. Give a damn about your job. Don't you let the devil rob. Take pride in anything that you find your name to.
Okay, folks, just listen to this. Just listen to what I'm going to read you. I received this in the fax today. It says, unbelievable program last night in response to all of that, little of which actually made logical sense. I do, as you might expect, have comments. Let's generously assume for a moment that Charlie Duke is really a nice guy and Aaron enjoys a personal friendship with him. And maybe together they accomplished a few things politically, things which have all of the right sounding words, get people stirred up, and maybe temporarily hold the bad guys at bay, etc. That is all very well and good. The fact remains that nice guy or no nice guy, Charlie Duke has only two primary claims to fame, or infamy, as the case may be, the Tenth Amendment resolution and his recent performance in Montana. I will not discuss Montana in this facts, that is a whole nother ball game. If we're going to put ourselves in the position of making assessments, you have to turn off the rhetoric and look at the actions. The action or inaction always tells the real story. The action or inaction also reveals true motivation or true ignorance. So let's look at a few things here. Aaron wants to feel good about Charlie and himself. Okay. From that perspective, where the Tenth Amendment resolution is concerned, there is no crime or shame in trying to do something that might be beneficial. The Constitution Party was also an attempt to do something that could have been beneficial. That's great, Aaron. Something beneficial sounds marvelous. However, good intentions in and of themselves seldom equal good results. And in these two attempts, there was a loss of ground rather than a gaining, and Aaron and Charlie are both inextricably linked with both situations. Both ventures failed for two very basic reasons, and these failures point to basic inadequacies in both Duke and Rousseau. First, there was nothing solid, no strength at their foundations. Both amounted to just talk. And second, there has been a definite lack of leadership demonstrated by both men. That doesn't necessarily make them bad men, but bad leaders can be unintentionally dangerous. The Tenth Amendment resolution had no force of law, no enacting clause, served only to soothe a slightly disgruntled public, and had no real impact on stopping the progress of the totalitarian state. It was just big talk. The resolution didn't force the federal government's hand to do anything. It didn't even really take the feds to task over obvious legal issues in a meaningful way. It was just a formal complaint. It should be no secret that the inside the Beltway crowd is completely familiar with complainers and whiners. They have become totally immune to it. They don't care. And they don't have to care. So what if the states want their sovereignty? Let them try to get it. The states want the feds to be responsive to the desires of the states on constitutional grounds. That's a laugh. What constitution? You're not going to find too many states that want their independence badly enough to cut themselves from the federal financial apron strings or all those other perks and pork that keep people quietly feeding at the trial. The Tenth Amendment resolution was just an idea, but it was never expected that it would really do anything. If such had been the original intent, the document would not have been a mere resolution, and it would have been accompanied by attempted decisive legislative action at the state level. And this, of course, has certainly not occurred in the majority of states in which the resolution was passed. In very few instances has the 10th Amendment resolution led to anything substantive. It could result in something substantive, but Duke is not leading the troops in any way in this effort. I guess he thinks he already did his part. I would say to him, Charlie, you have to lead by example and teach as you go, and you have to stick it out for the long haul. If he cannot or will not do that, his good ideas will never bear healthy fruit. Ideas are great. They are essential. But they have to be brought into manifestation in the senses realm, or they remain only intangible, intellectual, idealistic discourse. Without the physical follow-up of actual human activity and leadership, ideas are nothing more than dreams. They are not in and of themselves real, even if you do put them in writing. So what about Aaron and the Constitution Party? Same basic problems. The Constitution Party, while it was another great idea, suffered from the moment of its birth from division in the ranks, attempts by core members to promote their own non-constitutional agenda, in effect the libertarians, etc., the abandonment of the organization by its founder, and a general disinterest and lack of participation by its core committee once the party had actually formed and was gathering grassroots members. I was absolutely stunned that Aaron seemed to have no recollection of how that party collapse occurred, who the players were, or what the conditions were that brought about the downfall. How well I remember the Scarborough scandal and all the frantic audits, threatened lawsuits, demanded resignations, etc., which occurred in the attempt to keep the party afloat. By that time, Aaron was long gone as a participant. He started something good and abandoned it in midstream, lost touch with what was happening, left the baby on the orphanage doorstep, and expected others to love it and care for it simply because it existed. Fat chance indeed. Aaron's lack of participatory leadership was a primary cause of its disintegration. The ship was at sea without its captain, and the running of the ship was given to a committee. The responsibility of its leadership was spread out among too many people, none of whom had a clue about what they were doing. None of them had ever formed or managed a political party before. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that's true. I didn't know what I was doing, but at least I was doing something. And I continue. Few involved even bothered to find out what the legal requirements were. Accountability was a big problem, as we soon found out. And out of necessity, once Aaron jumped overboard, the day-to-day operations were handed to a convicted felon who served as acting national director. Nobody knew what in the hell was going on. There is an apt saying that applies to this situation, quote, he who does not know to which port he is sailing has no favorable wind, end quote. Good intentions? Oh, plenty of them. Good intentions were not good enough. Aaron says nobody ever accused him to his face of financial misconduct. Maybe they didn't. So what? Most of the time when a person is being falsely accused, no one ever confronts the man face to face, because to do so makes the false accuser subject to libel suits and public humiliation when the truth is known. Almost all juicy character assassination occurs by unknown accusers and gossip mongers. Aaron speaks extremely foolishly on this subject. He was innocent of any wrongdoing as far as financial sins in the Constitution Party were concerned. It was a simple matter, but very expensive to prove his innocence. He was ultimately exonerated, and the accusers put themselves in a position of being no longer trustworthy and in turn, the accuser's own misconduct with the party money and directorship was revealed. So what can it possibly be that convinces Aaron that these same people who dragged his name and reputation through the mud really have his best interests at heart? It is beyond the realm of reason. What in the world does Aaron think led to all of the independent audits of the Constitution Party books? Does he believe that those expensive and time-consuming reviews of the books were just a fun thing to do? Those independent audits were conducted for no reason other than to protect Aaron's good name, and I know that at least one of them was personally financed by you with your own money. Does Aaron believe that the cost of the audits was justifiable? If he does, then he must know that the audits were a necessary defense against the false accusations that were made against him by Scarborough, Duke, and Sharon Ford. So nobody accused Aaron to his face. That statement means absolutely nothing. It is pretty damned obvious that he was being accused, or there would have been absolutely no need for the extensive and repeated audits, the revamping of the leadership structure, or anything else that occurred as the party collapsed. I remember that entire incident as if it were yesterday, primarily because you asked me to look into finding another independent auditor and party financial manager at the time when we were all desperately trying to rescue the Constitution Party from its apparent demise. There were certain certification documents needed which showed that the party was properly affiliated, legally formed, etc., etc. When you made attempts to obtain those legal documents so that I could move forward with the new auditors for yet another independent audit, those documents were never provided by Aaron or his attorneys. Aaron's disinterest was made perfectly clear. It was at that time that I said to you, why is it that you are responsible to do all of this by yourself? Aaron started this thing, and he needs to take an interest in it. From that point on, it seemed best to withdraw from the situation, which we both did. None of the other forming committee members volunteered to assist in any way or to accept any responsibility for the running of the party. It was obvious that the Constitution Party was over. It died because its founder abandoned it. Its forming committee refused to volunteer to assist it when the party was in trouble. The personnel entrusted with party operations were attempting a takeover, were using the money for personal matters, had failed to present real receipts for their expenditures, and then accused Aaron Russo of doing everything that they themselves had already done. There was only you, Bill, struggling to keep it afloat, along with a few grassroots local organizers. Valiant though the rescue effort was, the party could not be saved. And Charlie Duke and Karen Scarborough, in tandem with other parties in the state of Colorado, brought down the Constitution Party from within with very little effort and with malice aforethought. The Constitution Party and the 10th Amendment resolution were misdirected attempts to bring out change. Speaking somewhat philosophically, if there is one absolutely essential quality needed to bring about desired change when your numbers are small, your resources are limited, and your enemies outnumber you in personnel and strength of publicity, it is stick-to-itiveness. Perspicacious tenacity. If the founders and leaders fall away, who will lead the troops? I don't care how educated people are or how interested they may be. Without leadership, they lose the drive to take initiative, and they fall into silent immobility. Without leadership, no new leadership rises to the top to carry on or to divide the labor. As stupid as it sounds, role models are really an essential thing because they build believing in the minds of others that they too can make a difference if they just take some action. Aaron was at one time a role model. He started out on the right track. But Aaron is restless. He goes from project to project, just like making films. If you are a producer, you get all of your workers and contractors organized, arrange some funding, and let the artists and technicians create the finished product. Aaron is an idea man. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But what Aaron does not yet realize about dealing with the real world and political realities is that most people are not artists and technicians, even politically. They don't have much initiative. They don't have much specialized skill. They don't have much of an emotional stake in anything outside of their own four walls. Many lack intellectual resources. Many are just waking up at the 11th hour. Almost all lack experience dealing with matters of this critically. Few have real organizational ability. Most want to be told what to do because they are afraid of making mistakes, and following others' suggestions removes the necessity of thinking for themselves and seems to rescue them from the consequences of any action they might happen to take. All people like this, and all situations like this, require leadership of one sort or another, to one degree or another, if for no other purpose than to teach people how to lead themselves. The problem with Aaron is that he is not really a leader. He lacks the staying power required of anyone leading by example and teaching as they go. Corporate delegators of responsibility, although they may wear a leader's hat, barely touch on the fringes of what is required in real leadership. So what is Aaron Russo? Well, Aaron is a motivational speaker, but I'm here to tell you that motivational speakers are a dime a dozen these days, and when the speech is over, then what? Based on his comments last night, in spite of his talk about growing and changing, Aaron does not appear to have progressed much beyond where he was 2 years ago. Back in late 1994, you played a tape on the hour of the time of Aaron addressing a large group and speaking about encroaching government. He wowed the audience by showing them the little strips in a $10 bill. I admired him for broaching the subject to a crowd which probably expected him to talk about making movies or running film companies or dealing with California legislation from a Hollywood perspective. That, too, was all very well and good in its time. But my immediate mental reaction was, this is old hat. We already knew all of that stuff. The dangers we faced and the encroachment of big government was so much more pervasive and imminent. Things Aaron seemed to know nothing about, details he couldn't imagine, depths of deception undreamed of. He was then, and is today, dangerously behind the times. Still, I thought, you have to start somewhere. We all started somewhere. Some of us with Limbaugh, some of us with Harder, some of us with Valentine, some of us in the law library, etc. Nobody came out of the womb as anything other than a sheeple. For everyone who ever woke up, there was a period of sleep prior to that waking. And yet, there is something else to consider. Waking up is not enough by itself. Being more awake now than I was 3 years ago, I view the things which Aaron thinks are issues of vital educational importance as almost negligible. Strips in the paper currency? Sure, they're crummy. Yes, they're a form of evidence of the manipulation. They represent a form of proof of the intended governmental control of the citizenry that is readily accessible by anyone with a $10 bill in their wallet. But things have progressed so far beyond the strips and the money that issue serves only as a small wake-up call, one easily ignored to those still sleeping. If you find a strip in your Federal Reserve notes, so what? Does that inspire you to go to the law library and study the history of money, the history of the Federal Reserve, the manipulative theories of Keynesian economics? Does that motivate you to get more educated? Does it equip you to teach anyone else anything else about what we are facing in this country today? In my opinion, it does none of those things. It makes for titillating conversation at a cocktail party. I will return and continue after this pause. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. I don't know how many of you have ever held a real gold coin in your hand, something like a $20 gold piece. You know, they make them all the way from $5, $10. I don't know if they make a $15 or not, but I know there was a $5, a $10, a $20, probably a $25, a $50. All coins, all gold. And silver dollars. I remember when I was a young boy, we were being transferred somewhere. My father was an Air Force officer. And while driving to our debarkation point, my father took the family to Las Vegas. And everybody had big bulging pockets full of silver dollars, real silver dollars. Of course, we could not go into the casinos. We browsed along the strip and went to rock shops and visited a railroad museum that was there at that time, is gone now. Real old trains on real old tracks. And later that evening, as my parents came back from their jaunt in the casino, they gave us all some real silver dollars. I remember being so proud to have a silver dollar. It was so big and heavy and beautiful. By golly, it was beautiful. I've never forgotten that. Although I never had a gold coin until well into my middle age years, I had known about gold coins and had read about them. Never known anyone who owned one. Now I know quite a few people who have them. But I'll tell you, once you've held one in your hands, a silver dollar or a $20 gold piece, you know that they are valuable. No one has to tell you. I can assure you of that. You can feel the weight. You can feel the value. You can see it. You know that if you had the skill, you could make things with those coins. You see, they have intrinsic value. Value that exists within themselves. Something that the funny money called Federal Reserve notes in your pockets sorely lacks, does not have at all. You can't even use them as notepaper because they're covered with ink. The best you could say about them is the design is a little artistic and some of the bills might even be considered to be pretty. But that's about it, folks. If you want to get your hands on some real money, if you want to feel value in your hand, If you want to know it without any doubt whatsoever, call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646 and get some of your own. 1-800-289-2646. I remember not too long ago, Swiss America Trading offered the listeners of this broadcast 1 ounce silver rounds for $4 a piece. And a lot of you took them up on that, and me included. Boy, we made a lot of money on that deal, I got to tell you. 1-800-289-2646. The new newsletter is out. Ask for your copy. And while you're at it, thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now.
The Van Coalition. I ain't a politician, but I've got views. Some folks want to ban cars. Some want to get rid of vintage guitars. Why don't you do your thing and we'll do our thing too? This is the Coalition. The Van Coalition. The views of a musician. Yeah, I've got some. Some folks want to ban cars. Some want to get rid of electric guitars.
That's a good question. Why can't everybody leave everybody else alone? Question of the century, I would say. It's really what's at the root of all of our problems. Why can't everybody leave everybody else alone, starting with the federal government? And I continue with the facts that were sent to me today. Is Aaron leading the rush to demand the removal of these nasty little strips in the currency? Has he progressed beyond repeating what someone else told him? Has he done any of the research himself? Is he leading by example? Is he teaching how to lead or how to research as he goes? From all appearances, he is waking the infant and running out the door. He is waking the infant and running out the door, calling over his shoulder, "There's some strained peaches in the Gerber jars on the shelf in the kitchen. Be sure to feed yourself before I get back." Useless. And certain to result in the starvation of the wakened infant. Aaron is also a producer and promoter of what he calls an educational video. Is it? Is the entertainment value greater than the informational content? Has he relied on statements of questionable validity? Has he encouraged the participation of men of questionable character? Has he just had another good idea which, once underway, will be palmed off on others to operate? It all calls to mind ancient words of wisdom. Quote, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it be being to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." End quote. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. What that means to me in relation to both Aaron Russo and Charlie Duke is this. They're both idea men, inspired and motivated by, we should non-judgmentally assume, good intention, and a deep emotional desire to bring about change which they see as necessary for the good of the country. But neither of them act with a solid plan. After counting the cost and determining proper direction to take, in a sense, they have moved impulsively, much to their own detriment and the detriment of the so-called patriot movement. They have failed to adequately lead. Their ideas come to no good, meaningful, significant end. They are two of a kind. They like each other. They can have each other. Together, they will undoubtedly bring each other great grief and remorse. We can only pray that when they fall again, as they surely will, they do not take too many good Americans with them. It's not a crime to lack leadership ability. It's not a crime to be impulsive. It's not a crime to fall in with bad companions. It's not a crime to have ideas. It is also not a crime to be stupid. I sincerely hope that Aaron succeeds in waking others who have not yet heard the call, but I also hope that he realizes that there is no time left for these newly awakened babes to gradually rub their eyes, roll out of the sack, and have a cup of coffee or two before they start their newly informed life. These people Aaron may now awaken will have to hit the ground running or else. Based on his track record and his comments last night, I doubt if Aaron is the least bit prepared himself to lead these groggy troops to any kind of meaningful action whatsoever. Having the information is not enough. You have to learn what to do with it at every level, from the personal to the political. The goal of education is action. Until actions have changed, no education has taken place. It remains to be seen what effect, if any, Aaron can have in his new project. I personally wish him every success and Godspeed, but I cannot go with him. The times are too critical, and he is too far behind on the learning curve. If he and his newly awakened troops get up to speed, they may be able to serve well in the civilian resistance. But at the front lines, they could be as dangerous as the enemy simply because they don't know what's really going on. Even the best of us don't always know what's really going on. But we are better equipped with knowledge, better equipped with leadership, better equipped with organization, better equipped with motivated and trained personnel, and better equipped with experience. We will pray that Aaron, for the innocent blindness of his heart, is not caught in a crossfire. And that's the end of that fax. I was absolutely amazed, ladies and gentlemen, last night that I was hearing from the man who started the Constitution Party and bailed out on it, actually believed that the answer to all of our problems is to sell everybody in the country a $20 video and then send them a fax. Last night's broadcast hurt me beyond words. And I know it hurt a lot of you because I heard from you today, both by phone and by fax. The reason I read the fax that I did is because it covers the whole thing very well. And not only does it cover it well, it does it very fairly for all concerned. But it says it like it is, and it tells the truth. I'd like to hear what you have to think about all this stuff. How did last night's broadcast affect you? How did the demise of the Constitution Party affect you? What do you think about what you've been hearing? The number to call is 520-333-4578 for all of you new listeners. And for those of you old listeners who may have forgotten the number, it's 520-333-4578. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Jeffrey in New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
Well, pretty good. I was not entirely surprised at what happened last night. I think you did a great service in exposing that Schlemiel, who thinks he can get away with the kind of song and dance baloney that he's been getting away with. As far as I'm concerned, what they did to you in terms of this, you're really the victim of this whole thing. What they did to you was absolutely atrocious. The one good thing about it is you didn't lose any money this time to Mr. Rousseau and Company, because although the video, I suspect, may have been shown locally on some stations, it wasn't shown nationally on a network. But the fact is that you can't, that you just can't run away from trying to fight this enemy with just showing a video and a fax. There's got to be much more cohesion plans than that, and Mr. Rousseau just ain't going to do it.
Well, I've got to agree with you, Jeffrey, and it just amazes me that in light of our experience with NAFTA and GATT, where the calls and the faxes against the passage of NAFTA and GATT were running 1,000 to 1 across the spectrum of all religions, races, and people and organizations in this country, that he actually believes that all of a sudden it's going to work now because he sells a video and sends some faxes. And I'm still not satisfied that charging people $5 a month is going to pay for 15 to 20 million faxes every time Congress burps.
Well, that's exactly right, and it really comes down to local independent action by each individual working together and so on. That's why I stay in the Birch Society and the Libertarian Party, because at least they have a track record of being able to direct this into plans that do at least have some hope of doing anything.
Yes, and while I don't always agree with you, Jeffrey, I know that you are a fearless fighter and a participant, an activist. You love freedom. And by golly, you've been a contributor to this broadcast for since the beginning, as far as I can remember.
That's right. Ever since I got the new shortwave a couple of years ago, I'm going to keep working with you guys because, as far as I'm concerned, your people are worth it. So let's keep it going, and don't worry about the Aaron Russos. They can do their damage, but they can't destroy us.
Well, what worries me is the fact that I got caught by this guy, and I backed him and recommended him to many of the listeners. And that's something that I try not to do.
Well, we all get caught once in a while.
Yeah. And, well, I'm sort of glad in one way that it really demonstrates to people that I really am human.
That's right.
And some of them, up until things like this happen, don't seem to believe that for some reason or other.
Yeah, I know. Well, there have been virtues who've been caught too, and so all we can do is keep on keeping on.
Well, thank you for your call and for your input, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks.
And thank you for being who you are. I know a lot more about Jeffrey than most of you do. I'm not going to tell you what his circumstances are. Some of you have guessed, but anyway, he's worthwhile. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. I had the privilege to meet you at the Los Angeles Constitution Party meeting. How much did that cost you to put that out? Put that together, that meeting?
Quite a bit, as a matter of fact. Altogether, for on behalf of the Constitution Party, my family forked out probably in excess of $6,500, about $6,500 or more dollars.
I wanted everybody to hear that, and I'm extremely upset. So thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call. For those of you who do not know the number, never did know the number, or maybe have lost the number, because we don't do call-ins too often on this broadcast, it's 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Louise from Chicago.
Hi, Louise.
I've been listening when I can receive you. Sometimes it's interfered with, shall we say. Other times it doesn't come in, but it's through the month of June. I get your broadcast very well.
Good.
And I've been listening to your talk about the Constitution Party. I was very interested in it. I think right now what we really need to do is move on. The battle continues to rage, and we are continuing to be attacked. And we need to have somebody, we need to have an alternative plan, a contingency plan, in the event of the failed Constitution Party, because, well, we need to restore the Constitution, and we can't let that fail.
Well, that's true, but in light of the nearness of the coming elections and the fact that that even though I say this is the last free election we'll ever have, it's not at all. We have no say in this national election. We've got a choice between, what, Dole and Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
That's a joke.
Right.
You think Charles Collins has a chance? He doesn't. Even if every patriot in this country got behind Charles Collins, he still doesn't have a chance. And if you really want to know the truth of it, the failure of the Constitution Party was probably a fatal blow to our movement, as far as putting someone in a national position who would be sympathetic to our cause and would help us restore constitutional Republican government to this country. I can tell you with no reservation whatsoever, it's not going to happen now without a fight.
Well, I never believed for an instant that it would not happen without a fight, but I'm saying that the fight does go on. I've been doing a lot, looking around a lot on the Internet.
I don't think you understand.
Of research, and I would like to, you know, maybe you should devote an entire program to important points to check when doing research, like resources. Like, I've been out on the World Wide Web. I've seen a lot of things, including some mention of a preamble to the Bill of Rights.
Yes.
I felt like an absolute moron not having known that there was a preamble. And I don't hear anyone talking about that on the radio.
Oh, we've talked about it many times on this broadcast. We've read the preamble over the air, and we have given out bibliographies and done shows on how to conduct research and how to find resources and what to do in a library and how to treat librarians so that they will actually help you find what you want instead of hiding it from you. We've done all of that, apparently.
Well, I wasn't receiving the program all over here.
Probably, but you have to remember we've been on the air over 4 years, and it's hard to repeat the same thing over and over again.
Well, I would, with the people, I think that one can, you know, I mean, our enemies repeat things over and over again. That's one of the ways they condition and brainwash in the classic Pavlovian style.
Yeah, well, you're right. But what we're trying to do is educate a people. And while we can go back to some basics once in a while, we really can't start at the bottom all over again with the audience that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have to continue to increase their knowledge and their effectiveness and their activity, and that's really what this broadcast is directed at. And I think you misunderstood when I was talking about we're going to have to fight. What I meant is with guns. I think that nothing is going to change for the better until there's a real fight and blood is shed on American soil. As much as I hate to admit it, I've spent a good portion of my life trying to awaken up people so that it wouldn't have to happen, so that we could, by political consensus, have a peaceful resolution and restoration. And that's what I had such high hopes for the Constitution Party, because it really did give a means for all people to come together with a common bond that was freedom.
Well, that treasonous traitor, our first big-time dictator, FDR, declared us to be the enemy, and now we've got the war on liberty. The euphemism is war on drugs, of course.
Sure.
And blood has been spilled. The war is underway. All we can do is pray that it is not too violent. But sure, I totally agree with you. I think there will be a certain degree of, as they said in The Wizard of Oz, it gets darker before it gets light and gets worse before it gets better.
Yes. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Okay, this is Joe out in North Carolina. How are you?
Good.
I've been listening to you for about a month. I haven't heard your program before, and I think I got the location on shortwave from the Liddy program some time ago.
Well, good.
What I'm interested in is your mailing address.
It's Harvest, H-A-R-V, as in Victor, E-S-T, P.O. Box 1970.
1970.
Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R.
Okay.
Arizona.
Right.
85925. And for those of you who are struggling for a pen, because you weren't expecting this, it's Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T. P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. You can also get a Veritas subscription at that address by making a money order out to Harvest and sending it in to that address for $39 for 24 issues.
Hey, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm a retired Marine. I've enjoyed listening to your program.
Semper Fi, my friend.
God bless you. Last night I really listened to your program, talked with Russo. I had the distinct impression that you already knew he was selling snake oil when you started talking to him, and that you were leading him on in there.
And no, not at all.
Bush.
Not at all. When the broadcast started, I really had believed that Aaron was a true good friend who had done some good things. And as I always do when I have a guest that I know is going to bring up subjects that are going to be questioned by the audience, I try to get those questions answered in the beginning of the program by playing the devil's advocate and asking those questions up front, and then the rest of the broadcast can be devoted to good and helpful things. But those questions brought up answers that I was not expecting at all, and led to other questions and And I was just totally floored by the whole thing. I was more shocked than any of you.
Sound like a snake. I don't know who he is, but he sounded like a snake oil salesman to me. He's just about screaming and hollering and not enough conviction. I think he's a good salesperson, probably. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I'm interested in your program and have some things to talk to you about, but I think I'll do it in writing. If you don't mind, I'll just write you.
Wonderful.
And again, thank you for what you're doing. Hang in there.
Thank you for calling.
Don't become discouraged.
Well, that's kind of hard sometimes. We all become discouraged, but we overcome.
Okay, yes, you will.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good night. Oh, well, we got time for maybe one or two more calls. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. And let me turn my radio down. There we go.
Yeah, please do that.
I just wanted to tell you I'm calling you from KDNO land. And hang in there. I could tell last night from the minute that guy came on that he was nothing but a con artist. And because I've been in sales all my life, and I can spot him a mile away. And he was just full of baloney. And out to fill his own pocketbook and to hell with the rest of the world. And that's just exactly what I thought. And he proved my point from the get-go. Anyway, Bill, I fully agree with you. I think that the only way we're going to get our country back is to fight for it. And it's just too bad, but we have too many gutless wonders in this country. And any time they can vote themselves in a welfare program, we're doomed for failure. And that's what's happening. And unfortunately, that's where we're headed. And I don't know if we're going to be able to save it, but I know one thing, we're not going to save it without a fight. And I just wonder how many critics there will be when the first shot's fired, because I wonder who will be on whose side and who will say what about the other guy, because, you know, sometimes we're always so critical of everyone else. And I think that's just too bad, because it's too bad sometimes we can't hang in there together. But then there's so many crooks, you don't know who you're hanging in there with sometimes. And it's unfortunate that this guy took advantage of you last night, but that's exactly what happened. And but don't take it to heart. There's a lot of people out here that believe like you do, and we can see through snakeskins pretty thin.
Well, thank you, and thank you for calling.
Yes, bye-bye.
520-333-4578. Take one more call. Make it quick, please, and that'll be it for the night. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. I would like to thank you for waking me up. I've been listening to you for about 1 year now, and I had listened to people at Tom Valentine before, and of course I still do listen to them, but you were the awakening within the awakening. And I'm trying to make this quick because I know you're out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time, up against the wall.
Okay, but I really want to thank you for that. I mean, I woke up a lot of people around me, and believe me, I am one person that will die for this cause.
Well, good. We need a lot more just like you.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to take up your time anymore.
Thank you, and you're welcome for the thanks that you've given to me, and thank you for feeling that way, and thank you for being awake, and thank you for really caring. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. God bless each and every single one of you.
People, I think it's time we stop this running around. This world is going too fast and we'd like to slow it down. Don't let them talk you into doing what you don't want to. Just learn to say no and learn how to refuse. Cause you don't owe nobody nothing except God above. Go out and go after the things in life you love. Don't try to force it if it ain't going smooth. The one person that you should never try to fool. You can make it to the top, but only you'll know when to reach. And I am not just talking, cause I practice what I preach. Maybe you don't do all the things. good job you hate, but you smile, that's the rule. You see yourself playing the game and it's rubbing you wrong. Oh, you don't know how much more you'll take, how long can it go on? Well, you don't owe nobody nothing except God above. Go out and go after the things in life you love. Don't try to force it, it ain't going smooth. The one person that you should never try to fool is you.